All right, welcome back, everyone. I'm continuing on. This is my second hour of Cancel the Cabal on Revolution Radio, and I'll be doing a third hour here too after my guest here is gone. And I brought up Suzanne Pozell, but I do need to hit. I'm sorry. I do need to tell everybody we've got just 4 days left, and I think we need to meet our goal for the month at keeping the station going. I thought Kat said yesterday we were like $400 short, but I haven't heard what's going on. So everyone, please go hit that donate button. But my second hour's guest is the actual founder of the U.S. Independent and Occupy Corporatism, Suzanne Pozell. Welcome back. Hello. Once again, Suzanne.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Did you happen to catch part of Stephen's show there for a little bit, or?
No, I'm sorry I didn't.
Oh, that's okay. We talked about the Ukraine. We talked about a lot of things. Iraq, Syria, the Ukraine, Yemen, North Africa. He's a very, very astute man and a wealth of information.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love his research and the fact that At this stage, there's so much care and focus on getting good quality information out to people. Because when we look at these things from a global standpoint, we're not there, and we are relying on sources of information to tell us the truth. It's wonderful that he's publishing these articles about international information that, since we're not physically there, at least we know that there's, you know, a couple of good people that are putting out honest, good quality, evidenced information so that we understand what's actually happening over there.
Yes, absolutely. What, in your perspective, is actually happening over there?
I always go back to the International Republican Institute. When I looked at the Ukraine, and I am Ukrainian, there is the National Endowment for Democracy, USAID. The IRI does not follow too far away from the dynamic trio, or the, you know, whatever you want to call it. They are manufacturing revolutions. It is a effective way, and a very cheap way, very cost-effective, politically effective, diplomatically effective way of creating a new government in a nation that allegedly chooses their own government. And you don't have to invade them and make a huge declaration of war and do all of this pomp and ceremony to get what you want. But you infiltrate at the ground level, where obviously people have grievances with their government, and it is all justifiable. And who wouldn't be upset? And you take that disenfranchisement and you twist it into a manufactured revolution, and it becomes quite simple, easy, and effective to take over another country. So to me, I'm thinking that this seems to be the new U.S. foreign policy.
New? No. Don't you mean always?
Well, I like, you know, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. But revolution has been used all the way back to Greek and Roman times as a way of toppling a government. So I agree with you. It's not new.
Sure, sure, absolutely. Well, just a little bit on there, but yeah, I just wanted to. I never even knew you had a Ukrainian ancestral background in you. I don't know. It just never occurred to me to even ask.
Oh, you. I don't.
Oh, I thought you just said you did.
No, there's a video that was put out just after the Ukrainian Revolution started, and it's called "I Am Ukrainian."
Oh, okay. I see.
It was funded. It was produced. It was filmed and shot by A Whisper to a Roar, which is funded by the National Endowment for Democracy. And one of their executive producers is not only a member of the National Endowment for Democracy, but also a member of the CFR.
Yeah, that's a little bit mysterious there. Let's get into a subject. I thought we could get into the full hour here. I know we've taken just a few minutes on the Ukraine, but the big subject that has been looming here in America for the past, like, 3 weeks now, the Bundy Ranch down there in Nevada. Mm-hmm. Bunkerville, Nevada, no less. What's your take on that, Suzanne? What do you think is actually going on down there?
Well, unfortunately, what is a states' rights issue, and we went over this yesterday on your broadcast, so I'm going to repeat myself. Maybe we could recreate the conversation because it was a good one. But this is a states' rights issue, and it is nothing but a states' rights issue. It does involve the first Civil War, because that was the foundation that led to the problem that is the states' rights issue. But we need to approach this for what it is, and we can explain this for the next hour, because as much detail for the audience to understand what is actually happening is the culmination of events that has now transpired. It's like dirt gets into your pores and it festers and festers, and all of a sudden you wake up one morning, you have a pimple on your forehead. So the BLM, the standoff, the necessity to stand up for your rights has all come because of events that have been going on since before 1864, which is Civil War era. So, Stephen, where do you want to start with this?
Well, just the correlations, just the seemingly similarities. The first conflict of the Revolutionary War, or I'm sorry, the Civil War was Bunker Hill down in Nevada, and then now we've got Bunkerville, Nevada, and it seems they want to start a conflict, or maybe the Second Civil War.
Sure. I know someone who is down there, and he's given me information that I unfortunately cannot corroborate or bring evidence to prove otherwise. I apologize. But he has told me about some questionable meetings with an upper echelon who are speaking about civil war and using that terminology specifically. It invokes a certain idea because we have romanticized this war. We still have people reenacting it as a hobby on weekends, even though it was one of the most destructive things that ever happened to this country and nearly completely destroyed the entire country forever. And we can't take this lightly. I mean, I just want to start off with a figure. At the time of the Civil War, 770,000 people died. Now, that doesn't sound like much because we have 320 million people in the United States, respectively. But that was tantamount to a third of the population of the United States at the time. So let's take that number. A third of 320 million people would die, guaranteed, in the next Civil War. You could probably assume and safely that with all of our technology, that number could jump to at least 40 to 50%, but that's all speculatory. So,
Well, yeah, speculatory, but probably not out of the realm of possibility.
right, but I'm not trying to fearmonger anyone. I'm being honest. This is my opinion. This is speculation. This is theoretical. It is not guaranteed. We'll have to see if it does kick off. We'll have to see how many people were killed, but it will be senseless because there is a way to solve the problem that's going on in Nevada and in other states across the country without militia, without a gun, without any bullets.
Well, let's just take the possibility. Let's just take the possibility that this is just some kind of a test, a beta test, if you will, between government and some of the so-called alternate media propagandists that are actually helping to fuel the fire down there in Nevada.
Well, we can talk about the fiction that surrounds the Bundy Ranch.
Yeah, let's do.
Vinny and I put together a 5-minute video that summarizes it all, but I'm going to go into more detail because we need to understand how we got here. So in the 5-minute video, it's up on the usindependent.com under contributor Vincent Eastwood. And the fiction that surrounds the Bundy Ranch, for starters, as egregious as actions by Harry Reid in the past in the state in which he's allegedly representing, is egregious. He had no part in the Bundy BLM acquisition and standoff. That deal fell through in 2013. It was his son. Yes, it is fortuitous and possibly ironic that the senior advisor of the Harry Reid office then becomes the director of the Bureau of Land Management. And yes, it is fortuitous and possibly ironic that his son is representing, or was representing, ENN Energy Group.
So he wasn't actually lying in that video that he explained away his, his involvement with the Chinese. He wasn't lying.
Harry
because...
Reid's direct involvement with the Chinese has not been shown.
Okay.
His son represented legally in the acquisition of 9,000 acres of underdeveloped land in Nevada for ENN Energy Group, but that deal fell through.
Deal fell through.
Yeah. 2013. So ENN Energy is not acquiring any public lands in Nevada currently.
Okay. And that's what the main story is that the alternate media is running with. That's what the supposed BLM involvement is, the alleged BLM involvement, correct?
Correct. And I will tell you what the BLM's actual involvement is. But let's get to the other fictitious story that's being perpetrated.
Sure.
Fracking contracts are in eastern Nevada, not where Bundy is. He's down near the Four Corners.
Yes, he is, yeah. That's
so
like,
that's western Nevada.
Many, 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 many miles away, yes.
So the fracking theory does not hold because there are no current open contracts for that area.
And the solar energy story, that's out the door too, yeah.
So why is this happening? Well, this is happening because of Agenda 21. Back 4 years ago, the Obama administration further opened the door that George Bush Jr. left open to allocate 220 million acres of underdeveloped public lands to the Wildland Project. The Wildlands Project. The Wildlands Project is under UNESCO, which is a branch of the United Nations. And what their job to do in this country, as far as Agenda 21 is concerned, is to allocate land for rewilding, where at least 50% of the continental United States will be allocated for non-human use. This also has to do with foreclosures, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about public land. So what the Obama administration opened up was the door to allow all of this land to be given over to the BLM. The BLM's job is to secure the area because it is equity for the people who now control it, which is the United Nations, through UNESCO under the Wildlands Project. The BLM's job is also to survey areas that they might want to suggest people from the United Nations and the Wildlands Project look at stealing. So they're currently looking for more areas to take. So the BLM, essentially, in this situation, would be no different than a rent-a-cop that you hired to secure your perimeter at night, the office building or whatever you have. It's the same thing. So the BLM's response, as far as they're concerned, was correct. Their job is to secure that area and make sure that it retains its equity for its rightful owner, which happens to be right now the United Nations.
There it is, right there. Yeah, it's the biggest conspiracy in the last 30 plus years that there's a UN takeover. And, I believe currently isn't 84% of Nevada federally owned anyways?
I don't know about that figure, but it is an extensive, it's a mind-boggling amount because, and it's all across the West, folks.
Yes, it is.
So let's go back in time for a minute. So the Civil War is about to break out. The North and the South both want to expand West. And the government is okay with this because they're running Indian Native Americans off of their land. And what they want to do is set up new settlements. They want ranchers and farmers to go out there and use the land. It's still under federal jurisdiction, but they are given the permission to use the land. Because if the farmer and the rancher come out, then the people will come out and they will be employees for the corporations who want to expand out west. Now, the North has a problem with the South because they have to pay their workers and the South doesn't. And economically, it's not a fair fight. The South obviously has an advantage. And the South don't want to give up their equity in slavery because at the time, a good slave hand would be worth about what a Chevrolet was in 1955. That's several thousand dollars. So they've put a lot of money into slavery. They've built up an industry based on it, and they're not going to give it up just because the North has to pay their workers, and they would be in the red just by competing. So what we had was Lincoln gets into office, and all of a sudden, within 3 days, the South starts to secede, and they form their own government, and they elect their own president. And now we have two countries. We have a huge problem. This land that was, I'm sorry, allocated with permission by the federal government includes the state of Nevada. And in 1864, when Nevada became a state, they unfortunately did not specify the sovereignty to the people of that state or the state government itself. In fact, in Article 2, Section 1, it shows that all sovereignty of the state is given to the federal government and under supreme law of the federal government. So we have a problem with state sovereignty. The state of Nevada does not have sovereignty over their land, and the government does not have control over their land. And the people do not have control over their land. So what happened with Bundy was inevitable because of this problem. Now, the U.S. Supreme Court has upheld the United States Constitution with regard to real property, public land. In the United States versus Fox, and I quote, "It was established as a principle of law everywhere recognized from the necessity of this case that the disposition of immovable property is exclusively subject to the government within whose jurisdiction the property is situated, and that several states of the Union possess this power to regulate the tenure of real property within their respective limits and its modes of acquisition and transfer." That is really a big deal. We are talking about real property. Public land is real property. Several states in the Union still retain their sovereignty to decide how real property is acquired and transferred. Some states do not. They are under the federal government's jurisdiction. So this is a way in which the BLM is able to acquire these lands, how the Obama administration is able to just say, "Hey, we're going to take over 220 million acres of underdeveloped land." We're also looking at sites back to 2010, 14 sites in 9 states, which include Colorado, Utah, New Mexico, California, Arizona, Oregon, Washington State, and Nevada.
And oddly enough, all of those states are predominantly have federally owned lands, federally regulated lands.
Yes, and that's not a coinkydink. That's
No,
not
it's not.
serendipitous. That is on purpose.
Exactly, yes.
Because that is where you need to look for the lack of state sovereignty. Real property and its acquisition and transfer. That is when you purchase a piece of property or a building or whatever, that is real property. Real property is acquired when you go through the process of getting the mortgage and getting the paperwork and the deed, and now that's your acquisition. If you want to leave that land or that property to someone else, that is transfer. Every state has rules and regulations and laws that govern how these things are able to come about. As long as the state has jurisdiction over the land, they are able to enact those laws and ordinances. If they are not, which in the case of Nevada, they are not. The federal government has jurisdiction over their land right now. And so they have laws and with regard to acquisition and transfer of real property, but it is not applicable because the federal government has ultimate jurisdiction so they can do what they want. And that's where we come into the problem of all of a sudden it's just not okay that this gentleman who has been actively using that land since 1954 is when his family arrived in the state of Nevada. Before then, they were living in Arizona. That's a really long time to use the land, and all of a sudden it becomes a problem. So that is why it is a problem. The BLM, the federal government, have jurisdiction over the land. The state of Nevada needs an amendment to their Article 2, Section 1 of their state constitution. And that's why I said there's a solution that does not necessitate any type of revolution, any type of physical altercation at all. It requires Nevadians to put this on a ballot, make this an initiative, talk to your state representatives, and get Article 2, Section 1 amended to give the state back its sovereignty. And therefore, the real property that we're discussing with Bundy becomes under the jurisdiction of the state government and laws concerning acquisition and transfer. So that means the BLM would have to give back the land that they took. And so it wouldn't be a problem that Bundy pays the state directly. It wouldn't be a problem that he pays Clark County directly because they would own their land again and they would have jurisdiction over it. It's very simple. It just takes some brave people to get this started.
Well, it's like you mentioned, yeah, we did. We spent 2 hours on this last night, Suzanne, and we went into it in depth. The solution is right in front of our eyes, and it does not include a gun or harsh words. The conclusion is just reasoning and looking at what isn't being told, wasn't what isn't being shown. And that's the word just keeps coming up every single week on my show, and that's sovereignty, whether it's personal sovereignty or state sovereignty.
Yes, it's a big deal. The way in which the framers wanted our government to work was the Congress was broken up into two parts. We have the House of Representatives who represent the citizens of the United States in total. And each state sends a representative or the people elect a representative to go there. The Senate is designed for the rights of the states to be heard in our government. Currently, we do not function the way that we were intended to function, so the states don't have a voice in the federal government. That is a big problem because, folks, our United States was originally formed to be a union of independent governments who collectively decided that they would allow one oversight body to allow them to conduct their business and make sure nobody attacks us and everything runs smoothly. That's what the federal government's job originally was supposed to be. That's it. Just make sure that the states can conduct their business and everything remains safe. That's it. That's a very, very small job.
Yeah, and what people really don't realize is the president was more or less a figurehead to a dignitary to welcome other dignitaries from other countries and show them a good time, and he mainly because we've never had a female president yet has they've just more or less took over control over 100 and some odd years ago, probably over 200 years ago, and just eroded the Constitution year by year.
Absolutely. No more damage was done, in my opinion, to the Constitution than what was begun in the Civil War era. Go ahead and lump, the years before, during, and after all together. Because it laid the foundation for the Patriot Act. It laid the foundation for the NDAA and whatever's coming next. That was a crucial part of our history where we almost lost everything, and what we got in return was nowhere near what we had before that. And the landscape that we live in, that's why we've all been convinced that we live in a democracy. And the word constitutional republic is only spoken by a small majority, small percentage of the people, because most people don't know what that means. And a lot of people who do use that word don't understand what that means.
No, they don't seemingly. A lot of people that do claim that they know what's going on, they probably only know 60% of what's going on, and most of this movement out there is controlled and fake, in my opinion, anyways.
Well, what we saw was the alternative media behaving exactly like the mainstream. And I'm not the only one who came out and said this. Stormcloud's Gathering pointed it out. Brandon Tuberville pointed it out. And several others have been talking about this because it's important for us to see. You know, you get to know people real well when there's a crisis. That's when your friendships are tested. That's when your marriages are tested. That's when your relationships with anyone is tested. How do people react in a crisis situation? Well, here we have a situation that was not even a crisis, not in the way that it should be defined. It is egregious, and it should be stopped, and it should be protested, but it's not a situation that we have today where we're talking about the possibility of kicking off a revolution. That was all manufactured. There were things that were told to you, were told to you to get you to have an emotional reaction to the situation. Because when you emotionally react, you make poor decisions. You always do. Just think back in your life when you had an argument with your significant other, your husband or wife, boyfriend or girlfriend.
Schoolmates, yeah.
Just schoolmates, exactly. Once violence becomes an acceptable form of communication, all bets are off. And there's trust issues and there's degradation of the relationship that can never be gotten back because it's always a possibility. You know, once you're in a relationship with someone and they use harsh words against you in the midst of an argument, if you don't stop that right there, that harsh word is going to turn into being said on a regular basis, which will then be turned into other ways of manipulating you, which will then eventually turn into you getting hit.
Sure. That's why they've always told us, well, I was told many years ago as a young boy, as a teenager, they told us to, whenever you got into an argument, to stop and take 10 deep breaths. You know, which probably would have been about 25, 30 seconds, and think about what you were going to do. And it probably doesn't even take 30 seconds. It might only take 10 seconds, two or three breaths. Take a breath and think about what you're going to do if you're in some type of a situation. And just millions of Americans don't seem to do that.
No, because we're constantly in this state of cortisol running through our brain, which is the stress hormone, and we are in the fight or flight. And if you look at what is being put in front of you on a daily basis by mainstream and alternative, you're freaked out. We all are. Oh my God, when are they going to crash the dollar? Oh my God, when are they going to kick off revolution? Oh my God, when are they going to lock down the country and put us in the FEMA camps? When? Yeah. Oh my God, I can't take it.
Yeah.
We're living under this stress all the time.
Exactly.
And we're not stepping back and saying, okay, I get it. We've got these problems that we could be facing. And there's a lot of theory and there's a lot of conjecture and there's a lot of speculation surrounding all of those subjects. I get that. But let's look at this logically. What is actually happening and what is the best response that I could give that would benefit myself, my family, and my community and my country? Because if the first thing, and it was brought up to me in a roundtable that I was in earlier this week talking about the subject, that our founding fathers kicked off revolution. Yes, they did, after they had certain things in place, things we don't have in place, like a Continental Congress. Like, they sat down and wrote the Declaration of Independence over and over and over again. They went through proper channels. I know that this sounds crazy, but there's a proper way to do things. They didn't just kick off revolution. They spent years getting ready, developing these concepts and putting things in place because they thought, they thought about the thing that we're not thinking about. What about the day after the revolution, folks? You know, I understand marketing and investing, and I understand product placement. And I hate to tell you guys this, but we're being sold a product.
We're being played badly, too, with this fiasco down there in Nevada. And, well, I have to explain something. I tell people, friends on Facebook and Skype and that, when they send me links, and I give them the wrong phrase. I say it's nothing but a distraction. And I really should say that it's nothing but full spectrum dominance, because they are hitting us at every single degree of the 360 degrees of a circle with some type of a distraction or some type of a crisis. And like you mentioned, when we're in a constant state of fear, the brain doesn't function correctly.
No, it doesn't. We're flooded with these chemicals and we're constantly in a state of stress. So we either want to quit our job or we're afraid to because we don't believe in ourselves enough to maybe start the business that we always wanted to start. We have a self-esteem problem and it's cultural. So they tap into that. They tap into our fears because we have poison in our food and water. And yes, all of these things are true. Yes, the bankers are taking over. Yes, there is destructive chemicals in our food and water. Yes, they are dropping God knows what, because the list that we know of is absolutely mind-boggling, but I'm sure there's plenty of other stuff that they're dropping in there that we don't even know about. These things are happening. But see, what the manufactured revolution is about is taking your absolutely understandable and completely unobjectable grievances with your world and your government and using it against you. Because with the manufactured revolutions come after the revolution, the stability operations with DynCorp and Blackwater, the Patsy government, which either one figurehead or a transitional council, the IMF and the World Bank giving you a bunch of money because infrastructure was destroyed during the revolution, and you need to build everything back up and using your resources as collateral. So this
And
is what we have to look forward to the day after the revolution, folks. And we haven't even thought about what we're going to do if we did take over.
yes, and that will be just a coincidence also that they will collapse a dollar right when the revolution starts too.
They have done that historically
Yes.
in the North during the Civil War, and what was occurring before the Civil War was just that, folks. Go look it up.
That's
In the
right.
North, the workers were sick and tired of working 20-hour days under horrible conditions, having factories fall on top of their head. One factory killed 900 women and children, and they knew that that building was not up to code when they built it, and the corporation and the builder decided to go ahead anyway because they didn't care about the workers. And so they were having uprisings all the time. In fact, in some cities, the workers not only burned down the buildings that they worked at, but they burned down their entire city because they were so fed up. So they crashed the system, made everyone dependent. 30 years later, guess what? The people got smart again. They realized that they were slaves. They started to revolt. They crashed the system again. So if I'm going to go from a historical standpoint, if they're going to crash the dollar, it's going to be after you guys revolt.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, it's also going to be a coincidence. Like you mentioned, the IMF is going to come in with the saving solution and probably offer us pennies on our dollar for whatever currency they will bring in.
Yes, Lincoln authorized in the very beginning of the Civil War, Lincoln authorized 75,000 troops to go down to the South to free any slave that they saw, to burn down the cities, and to kill anyone who stood in their opposition. That was in our own country. So let's look back at history, folks. A third of the population died. So a third of 320 million are going to die. Our infrastructure is going to be destroyed on purpose by the opposition to lay way for the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank to come in at a later date. And they're going to crash the system in order to get us to comply. That's how they've done it historically. That's how they'll do it now. If we know what they're about to do, why would any logical, reasoning, immature person choose to participate in this?
Yes, there's a very good reason why why there's this saying that says history repeats itself. It's been over a year or so ago now. You happen to mention 30 years that people revolt, but there was also somebody else had a theory out there that it was every 72 years that there was some sort of major shift in the social structure of a country. America. Do you know anything about that, or
Oh,
am I?
sure. Well, look at the way we thought in the 1950s to the 1960s to 1970s, 1980s. You can go back and you can lump up a couple of decades and say that this was a conscious shift in our society here. This was just a cultural shift in our society here. We could sit here and make those correlations very easily if we had time to do that. But what I'd like to focus on is that people understand. Go to Howard Zinn's book, The People's History of the United States of America. And this book was compiled by letters and newspaper clippings and interviews with the people, not what the official story is and not what it was back then, but the people who were living it. And it tells a completely different story of the history of the United States and gives a groundwork for more research that has been done since Howard Zinn published that book several decades ago and is continuing to this day. But right now we have a situation where this war has been romanticized, and it's a very horrible, dark time in our history. And we
Suzanne.
do not want to replicate that.
Yeah.
There are ways in which to solve this problem, and they do not necessitate a return back to the Civil War and what will happen to our country after. Because we almost lost everything in the Civil War. We literally had two countries, two presidents, two governments. And if you think that they're not going to destroy the government that we have, you're nuts. They've been doing it all over the world. And the way in which our government is structured under our Constitution, and I know that it's not being applied the way that it should be, but even in its current form, it is such a detriment to their plan that it would make sense if we had an all-out civil war in this country. They would be able to put in a new government. And what that would look like, I don't know, but I promise you, it does not serve your interests.
Not at all. Not at all. What do you think it will, I know we still got some time left. We can talk about many things,
Well,
but.
what it will take is for people to actually, we talk about waking up. It's time to really wake up, folks.
Yeah.
Really, really wake up. The guy that you trusted to tell you the truth has lied to you. Okay, let's be mad. Let's be frustrated. And then let's get over it and think about the task at hand. How do we prevent this revolution from happening while at the same time return our country to a constitutional republic? Well, when it comes to public land, I have offered you a solution. We can do this starting tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock. Nevada time, somebody. I'm not in Nevada, otherwise I would do this. Somebody start this initiative. We need to get Article 2, Section 1 amended to give the state back its sovereignty so that we can kick the BLM off that public land that belongs to Nevada and belongs to the people and give the jurisdiction back to the state so we can do so. Let's do that starting tomorrow morning. Somebody. My email is occupycorporatism@gmail.com. I don't know how I can help you, but I know that if we start this now, we can get the ball rolling and no violence, no guns, no revolution, nothing. Then the second thing we need to do is look at other states and read your state constitution and make sure that you have sovereignty in your state. If you don't, let's get those amended. Let's return all of the sovereignty back to every single state in the union. Then we can start to get the states' rights back in our government and get the states represented so that the people have their representation and the states have their representation. Because the executive branch is only there to just make sure everything stays the way that it is. But the Congress, with the House of Representatives and the Senate, that's where it happens. That's where all the magic happens. That's where the citizens and the states come to an accord on what they're going to agree upon is acceptable for the entire nation and for each state individually retaining their sovereignty. But for right now, tomorrow morning, somebody needs to get up and start this initiative who lives in the state because it's effective for the citizens to do this. An outsider from another state would not be able to start this initiative. So I implore you, please, let's look into this and you can email me and I will help you as much as I can. I know lots of constitutional attorneys. I will try and get you the help to kick this off, but let's do this tomorrow morning.
Even give her a message on Facebook too, if you have to.
Absolutely. I think that this is imperative because there's another faction that wants violence. They think that it is an acceptable form of communication, and it's not. If we don't accept other people hitting us in our personal lives and in our professional lives, then we can't allow ourselves to become victim by reacting because somebody called us a name. Let's be honest, folks. Okay, Harry Reid said that they are domestic terrorists, but you know what? Let's break it down. He called them a name. That's all. And are we that immature that we will pull out a gun and threaten people with it because we got called a name? That's what they do. This is the emotional reaction that they want out of you.
That's a rhetoric.
So what?
That's a rhetoric.
If somebody says something about you that isn't true, don't take that on to you and make their opinion of you what you think of yourself. You know that you're not a domestic terrorist. So don't accept his opinion of us as our own and then have to defend ourselves against it. It's not true. Who cares what he thinks? He's just some old idiot sitting in an office. We can get him out of there anytime we want. But that's basically what it is. It's fodder. They make sure that it gets national coverage so that people get upset. Why? Because upset people make bad decisions. And let's be honest, folks. We've been reacting to situations for so long that we have the situation that we're in. Our responsibility in this is that we have not looked at this logically, we have not gone through the proper channels, and we are acting like immature children.
Absolutely, we are. A couple more subjects I think we can touch upon. We also touched upon last night. Oh boy, where was I going to go? Go ahead and continue on for a second there. I'll think straight here in a minute.
Oh, I want to make this clear. I want to be that little lighthouse in the midst of the fog. And I know that I'm just one voice. I know that I'm not alone. But I was thinking about Lisa Brumfield, who is part of Truth Emerges. And she did something incredibly brave. And she's just one person.
Liberty
she
Lisa.
She went the initiative to have fluoride removed from all the water in Colorado.
Yes.
She went through the proper channels. She now has it on the ballot. She was successful. We can do the exact same thing. That's when it hit me a couple of days ago when I was putting that article together. Well, wait a minute. We can do this. We can do this right now. So I put that article out last week. It could have been started on Friday. It could have been started on Thursday. Tomorrow is Monday morning. What are you doing that is so important that you can't take time out to find out how you can get this Article 2, Section 1 in your state constitution amended and start the process of doing that? It's only maybe a visit to your state capitol. Maybe it could be done online. It's a piece of paper that needs to be filed. Then signatures need to be gotten. That's not difficult. A lot of people would agree with you that the state needs its sovereignty back. So if it's 150 signatures, I can't imagine that it would be difficult. Because a lot of people think that fluoride is okay. And it's much more difficult to get signatures on a fluoride ban initiative than it would be to say, hey, we need our freedom and our sovereignty back, folks. Let's just go ahead and sign this.
They would probably have people lined up across town. But anyways, one of the subjects I just happened to remember, we also touched upon it last night. There are some very prominent neocons in Washington and the mainstream media that are beating the drums on this constitutional convention. I'd like to get your thoughts on that.
Oh, absolutely. That constitutional convention is a very, very muddied, convoluted, hard to understand. And I've spoken with some groups that are pushing this, and it's very hard for me to understand, and I've had it explained to me several times. But what concerns me about this are groups like the Convention of the States Project, which is run by Mark Meckler. And he is the gentleman, the co-founder of the Tea Party Patriots, what we know as the Tea Party. And he sold out the group that he started for a couple million dollars from Koch Brothers to hand over information so they could infiltrate, and they have been very successful. And this person is now head of the Convention of the States Project. So I find it very suspect. There is a possibility that some of these groups want to rewrite the entire Constitution. That is very, very dangerous territory. This Constitution is not, it's not irrelevant.
It's not up for debate either.
No, it works, folks. It's not being applied. And so because it hasn't been applied for so long, we think that it's useless or that it doesn't represent who we are as a nation now as opposed to when it was written. But that's not true. We need to actually apply it and then make the, maybe come back and revisit it and say, well, is it, as it's applied, as it was intended to be applied, is it relevant or irrelevant? But let's at least apply it first and give it the opportunity. before we go ahead and say that we're going to throw everything out and start from scratch. And some of these Convention of the States groups want to completely rewrite the Constitution. So I think that that is very dangerous territory. I think it's very, very dangerous that someone who so easily was manipulated one time is now part of something that could manipulate our entire way of life.
Well, it's not just rewrite the Constitution, Suzanne. They actually want to just run it through the shredder and then set fire to it, more or less. But you happened to mention last night this group of people want to delegate one person from each state to go and look at the Constitution and see what needs to be changed, or as you happen to mention last night, how can any 320 plus million of us trust one from each state?
Here's where we're going to have to be better people than we have been, because the way in which we are able to run things, the decisions that we make, the filters that we use, it has gotten us this far. So in order to do something we've never done before, we have to be somebody that we've never been before. We're going to have to learn to stop reacting and start acting. And that takes a step back. That takes full consciousness of your emotional body and logic and reasoning and evidence so that you can attack the actual problem and not the symptom. And so if we're going to send people to represent us in a convention of the states, we're going to have to choose these people on criteria that does not have anything to do with what they wear or what their hairstyle is or who their friends are.
Or what
they say. We have to make sure. We have to check their background. We have to diligently do the research to make sure that these people are on the up and up and do have our best interest at heart and are telling the truth. And if they're not, then we go for another representative.
Yeah.
There are good people out there. There are Cynthia McKinney's in our representative government. We need to find them and support them. There are good people out there. We have this idea that because the government is this huge thing that everyone is evil, and it's just not true.
Yes, that's right. And Suzanne Pozzello of OccupyCorporatism.com and USIndependent.com. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Have a good day over there, and I will be back in just a few minutes, everyone.